Roadmap for Seekers. This is Rhonda Harrison, broadcasting live from Red Feather Lakes, Colorado. And I have Dr. Elaine Ferguson with me today, and I am so excited. She is a practicing physician, author and coach, blogger, and a pioneer in the field of holistic medicine. She's an Ivy League educated physician. Pardon me, and a graduate of Brown University and Duke School of Medicine. And she completed her residency in Chicago, but she had an amazing book out, Super Healing, Engaging Your Mind, Body, and Spirit to Create Optimal Health and Well-Being. And I have personally have read this book, applied this book, have had some amazing things happen with it. But I want us to bring in Dr. Elaine. Hi, Dr. Elaine.
Hi, Rhonda. How are you?
I'm awesome. And
That's great. I am so
happy that you accepted to do the show with me today. And I'd
It is my pleasure, and it's an honor to be on your program. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Oh, you're very welcome. You have such a strong message that the world needs to hear, that, you know, we do have, you know, a mind that can help us in this healing process and health process that, you know, we tend to think that, oh, well, this is damaged, I can't do anything for that, so I might as well just keep doing what I'm doing or whatever. You know, and in this day and age, it's more about being proactive and active in emerging into this new dimension where we're healing in such rapid ways and a lot of information is coming to us. Can you share how you got this information and what got you started on writing this book?
Oh, definitely. Well, as you mentioned, I've been involved in holistic medicine for some time, and I think the book came for a couple of reasons, primarily due to my frustration in terms of my observations regarding the holistic and alternative world. And basically what my primary frustration was and still is that people are just treated, and for the most part, certainly there are exceptions, but in general, it's a treatment modality. It's an approach that's very similar to Western medicine in terms of treating the symptoms, certainly in a much more effective way in general, but we were focusing on treatment. And my belief and my sense is that it is so much more important to focus on health. Because if you are proactive and take care of your health and you're healthy, then you don't have to worry about prevention, because that really is the best way to prevent diseases, is to be healthy and vibrantly and optimally healthy. And also, it is important to understand how the body works and to know that when we give it what it needs, we will be healthy. And it'll save a lot of money, time, frustration, and all those other things. And the truth is that we were created to be healthy. So about 3 years ago, and as I was telling you before we came on, in July of 2012, the idea, the title of the book, Super Healing, literally descended into my mind. And there was this phenomenal energy that surrounded this gift I received in terms of the title and the concept. I was not planning on writing another book, because it really takes a lot to write a book. But I was so inspired and just in awe of this information and the way it was coming to me and through me and the energy behind the book. So that's, in a nutshell, how Super Healing came about.
And that's so beautiful that you'd been working in the field of medicine, which usually, you know, in Western medicine, it's all about finding the cure or, you know, giving you a pill that's just a part of a plant or part of a nutrient that you need. And with using, you know, foods and, you know, and changing in your belief system that the body does regenerate itself and that it can heal itself and that it can start producing good cells again, you know, even if they've been damaged. Because that's kind of been my experience with this, with after reading your book and applying it and going through some pretty big health challenges in the last 2 years since September of 2013, and I think the first show I moderated with you on it was in October of 2013. Yeah, 2013. Yeah. And, you know, I was amazed then, and I'm even more amazed now, and I just feel like people really need to know that they are the active piece in the healing process.
Absolutely. That is that's the essence of super healing, as you know, and that is the truth. Unfortunately, we live in a society and a culture that encourages otherwise. When I was in medical school, I ran across a quote from John Knowles, who was the president of the Rockefeller Foundation several decades ago, and he said people have been led to believe that more doctors, national health insurance, and high-tech, hospital-based diagnostics will impart health. And unfortunately, none of them will. And that's the truth. And Dr. Don Ardell, who wrote a book called High Level Wellness back in the 1960s, said that the greatest cause of unhealth is that people surrender the responsibility of their health to others. And that is so true.
Yeah, because I'm really seeing a huge change, and I see, not just with myself, but with other people, with this information coming out more and more that, you know, and it seems to be like a really big floodgate opened in 2012 on a lot of different levels, because a lot of people I've interviewed on this show that are authors all started putting their information out in 2012, or were getting the information to write the book in 2012, you know, and it seems like this huge vortex is open now that we can jump into and say, you know, I don't have to take this, and this medicine. I mean, I've gone off 30 meds in the last year just by changing a lot of my diet. Yeah.
That's pretty remarkable. I do believe that medicine has its place. But that's a very limited place. If we do the right things, we won't need to take all these drugs and have these diagnostics and dangerous procedures, because most people don't realize that medical treatment is one of the leading causes of death in the United States. That's not well known because it's not reported in the media, but the research, the credible data that's accumulated shows that there's so many drug interactions, there's so many detrimental complications from diagnostics and surgeries and hospital stays, that it really, all those put together, compromise one of the leading causes of death in the United States. And literally, we are overtreated in many cases. People just get too many medications, too many diagnostics, because we don't really listen to the patient and listen to what's going on. Try to fit our patients into a diagnostic paradigm, and we really don't take the time to listen. And even if we do listen, we don't address the causes. In Western medicine, we address the symptoms, and we suppress symptoms. And that is really the problem. It's a high-tech symptom suppression system and approach. And as I said, it has its place. We know that treatment of acute traumatic injuries, bar none, it is superior. It's outstanding in saving lives in that regard. But when it comes to treating chronic diseases, and the primary reason is that most chronic diseases, over 80% of diabetes, heart disease, cancer, hypertension, depression, anxiety, are caused by and large by stress, by emotional distress.
I started doing this practice ritual over the last couple of months of taking 10 minutes a day to just laugh, and I do it internationally on Skype with a bunch of other people, and I find that it makes your sleeping better, your dreaming better, your waking hours better. You wake up more energized and more lively because you've laughed at whatever's the stress is for the day, you know, or whatever's not going right or whatever's going good, you know, and just saying, you know, this is today and today's going to be over, you know, and then, you know, there'll be tomorrow and there'll be something else that'll take on the limelight.
I want you to send me that Skype because I want to join. I mean,
okay.
I have a sign on my desk that says, always remember to laugh. It is the cheapest medicine. And laughter is really, for me, so important because it was one the beginning of, in part, a very critical message that understanding that I came to about laughter back in the 1980s when I saw a CBS 60 Minutes report about Norman Cousins. Norman Cousins is really considered to be the father of humor therapy because he wrote a book called Anatomy of an Illness. And in the 1960s, while he was an editor of a major magazine, I believe it was the New Yorker magazine, he developed a severe neurological disorder that was untreatable. While he was exposed to toxins, exhaust diesel fumes when he was on a trip to Russia, and that was believed that that was the cause of it, but it was an untreatable disorder. I believe it was Lou Gehrig's disease. But long story short, he had this feeling that if he just gave his body what it needed, which was laughter and vitamin C, he would get better. And he checked into a hospital. He had a very open-minded a doctor in New York City, and he watched comedy films. He laughed so much they had to kick him out of the hospital because he was disturbing the other patients. But he did this for a couple of weeks, and his symptoms went away. It resolved, and he opened the floodgates to this notion that laughter can heal. I mean, what good doctor would even consider that? But the long and the short of it is that we now know, based on research, that laughter changes our physiology in a very positive way. It's much akin to exercise with even additional benefits. And when we're laughing, we're joyful. And one of the things, one of the key things that I have come to understand and to know, whatever we feel, whatever the emotion is, it is the physiological reality within our 50 trillion cells. That is what's real. That is the physiology. That those are the chemicals that we release, those laughter chemicals, joy chemicals, upset chemicals, anxiety chemicals. Those chemicals create the environment in which our cells function. So if we're laughing and we're joyful, our cells are literally laughing too, and they're joyful, and that gives the cells an opportunity to repair and function normally. That's why it's so powerful. Hello? Did we get disconnected? I can't hear you, Reverend Rhonda, so what I'm going to do is hang up and call you right back because I don't hear anything.
Hello, this is Rhonda. I am dropping people like crazy. Hang on just a moment.
Hello?
Hi, Dr. Lane.
Hi, I guess technology had a...
It's called technology, just dropped us all. And I see that Reverend Max in the back as well, and I've got a live mic on you if you'd like to say something.
Good afternoon. How are you all?
Hi,
oh,
you
know,
technical
difficulties.
I can hear you all. Can you all hear me?
Yeah.
Yes, we can.
Excellent. Good afternoon, Dr. Elaine. So good to hear you. I once I understood that you were going to be Rhonda's guest, definitely wanted to just chime in, say hello, and to always support my friend.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate your phenomenal support. It means a lot to me. Thank you.
Absolutely. And Rhonda, thank you so much for having her on, because this way we get to spread more of this wonderful message that she has in this awesome book, Super Healing, with the world.
Mm-hmm.
So I too am so grateful. Are we back online now? Are we up and live?
Yes, we are. We're all
okay.
Live.
Okay,
and
great.
I would just like to say I really appreciate meeting her through you on the no-show, you know, when I was moderating all the time in the back. And it's just amazing to me how far everything's changed in 2 years' time.
That is absolutely right. Definitely, definitely. And yet, the farther we go, the more behinder we get. Meaning that
exactly.
I think because of technology, we now know that there are more people who need help than ever before. Prior to
mm-hmm.
now, Dr. Elaine, it was just our being aware of the people in our neighborhoods. But now the neighborhood is the world, and so we know that more and more people are needing the information that you have in your book. And so I am so grateful that you are sharing it with everyone as you are. And thank you, Rhonda, for allowing me to say a few words.
Yeah, you're welcome, sir. Continue to listen. And with that note, I'm going to say, listeners, if you want to call in with comments, questions, information that you would like to share, give us a call at 1-347-838-9142, and I will bring you into the studio by saying the area code of your number according to the way you guys punch in, and just press 1 once and they'll put you in the queue. And with that, Dr. Ferguson, could you tell people how to get your book and how to get in touch with you, and yeah, all your contact information would be awesome.
Yes, thank you for that opportunity, Rhonda.
Mm-hmm.
The website for the book is www.superhealingbook, S-U-P-E-R, healing, H-E-A-L-I-N-G, book, B-O-O-K, .com. And my website is www.dr, as in Dr. Elaine, ELAINE.com. You want me to repeat that?
Sure, that would be great.
Healingbook.com and drelaine.com.
And you also have a Facebook page, correct?
Yes, the Facebook. Oh, okay. The Facebook page is. It's How to Get Well Faster. That was the first one I used, so I still use that. And my Twitter
mm-hmm.
page is Dr. Elaine, but Dr. is spelled out on Twitter, D-O-C-T-O-R, Elaine, on Twitter.
Very good. So you're getting out there quite a bit. And,
yes,
you know,
yes,
you get a lot.
Of... It's been a process.
And you have your
and
website.
Robert, and you know, we're planning on airing a program for PBS this late fall in November, beginning in November, during their pledge period for the fall, based on the book. It's called 5 Amazing Life-Changing Secrets Your Doctor Hasn't Told You.
Great. That's going to be wonderful to be able to see you on TV and hear you at the same time.
Yeah.
It'll be
really,
like having you in your front seat. That'll be great.
Yes, I am excited about it.
Well, and just to think that the book just came out 2 years ago, and look how far it's come since October of 2013.
Yes, you're absolutely right, Rhonda. I do think, I had not thought about what you said about 2012. Well, I didn't know that other people felt similarly, so that is quite interesting to me, because 2012
mm-hmm.
was such a feared time for so many
mm-hmm.
people. But But it, you know, it's so interesting to me that what we fear the most are the good things. So I'm not surprised, because I think my sense is that our awareness is elevating, it's increasing, and we're going through a cleansing, a healing crisis. Things seem to be getting worse, but I think it's just the end of the consciousness of separation that is falling apart, that it just can't sustain itself with the higher frequencies of this coming to us and through us at this point in our lifespan on this earth.
Right. Because, like, 2 years ago when I first met you, I had systemic candida. I was in AFib really bad. I was systemic candida, AFib, and really bad asthma. And at the time, I had too many specialists. I had gastroenterologists and pulmonologists and cardiologists, and everybody was prescribing stuff, but not really looking at what I was taking and how it was going to counter react to everything else. And it put me in the hospital for a couple of weeks, and then I ended up having to have heart surgery and a bunch of other things. But in that time, I started reading your book, applying a lot of the information and belief system to it. And now, 2 years later, my blood's better than they've ever seen it, as far as all my ratios. And then I've gone off 30 medications since 1 year ago.
I am going to have to get a testimonial from you to put it on my website. And I wish you could come to the taping so we could feature you on the program, because that is truly phenomenal. And it speaks to the capacity of our bodies to heal when we give it what it needs.
Well, oh, and I had Hep C. That's the other thing.
Oh, my goodness.
And I don't have any of the, I mean, I still have AFib, and I still have a pacemaker, or sick sinus syndrome, but I keep having this dream that there's going to be a day that they're going to take it out, and I'm not going to need it anymore.
Well, one of the things about the heart that we know that's very common in terms of arrhythmias is that magnesium deficiencies can cause arrhythmias. So you might want to look at, you know, talk to your cardiologist and look into that possibility.
I'm already taking it.
That's great.
My tongue. And my cardiologist is the one that's the most amazed. She's like, and my pulmonologist, they're like, you came to us with severe health problems, severe asthma, severe heart problems, where you were in AFib for 3 months before we got you into surgery and your blood thinned enough. And now we're taking you off meds that you've been on probably for 15 years, maybe even longer. And they're going, we don't understand, because we usually give more meds, not take them all away.
That's because we were taught in medical school that diseases only get worse. And that's... That's true. It's true to the extent that they get worse when you don't address the causes. So when you address the causes, you give your cells a chance to, you change the internal environment and your cells can function better. When I was in medical school, Rhonda, I saw what they call spontaneous remissions of cancers and other really serious diseases that could not be explained, and my teachers, my professors tended to just ignore those cases because they couldn't explain them, but I found them to be very fascinating, and I wanted to know more. And in the early 90s, a very, very progressive cardiologist, Dr. Dean Ornish, you may have heard of him, who was very holistically oriented and had studied yoga, developed a program that was proven. It was reported in The Lancet, which is the most prestigious medical journal in the world. He proved through using technology, the technological confirmation with CAT scans and MRIs, etc., as well as coronary artery catheterizations and other things to test the heart, that heart disease was actually reduced and reversed. The symptoms were reversed in the actual physical process, the hardening of the arteries resolved with a very simple, basic approach using stress reduction, a vegetarian diet, group support, and yoga and exercise.
Mm-hmm.
It reversed heart disease, which was, it was groundbreaking. It was unheard of that people could have this knowing, that you knew it was going to happen. And the most interesting aspect was that the sicker the person was, the better they recovered. So we know this is true for all diseases. If you just give your body what it needs, you just create a healthy internal environment, and that's just not diet and exercise. We tend to think of our health only in those terms. I did this myself when I first began this path. Well, if I just exercise, if I just eat, if I just take enough vitamins, I'll be fine. But until we address our emotional issues, whatever they may be, we will not be fully healthy. We can't be, because our emotions, as I said earlier, literally guide our physiology. That's why when we're happy, we feel good. It's not all in our heads. It's throughout our entire body. There's no place our emotions, in terms of our physical body, there's no place that you can hide from them. It's just not possible.
Exactly. Yeah, the endorphins and neurotransmitters and dopamine and all of that, we don't control. The body controls that. And we change it, though, by our belief system, I believe. And
well,
doing things like I
and
said.
And our emotions. Absolutely.
Right.
The research of, I don't know if I talk about her in the book, Dr. Ellen Langer, who she is one of my most favorite researchers. She's a Harvard psychologist, and she changed my life. In 1990, I heard Deepak Chopra give a lecture at a mind-body medicine conference, and he talked about her groundbreaking, really remarkable research. In 1979, she took a group of senior citizen men who'd lived in a nursing home, and they had all the diseases of what we call old age. They had hypertension, diabetes, arthritis, poor vision, loss of muscle mass, the things that we expect men in their 70s to have. And she took them to a lodge in Massachusetts, she's at Harvard, and had them focus on that same week. It was in September of 1979. She had them focus on what was going on in the world in September of 1959. They had magazines, television, and radio programs, and everything to make them feel that they were back in that time. And at the end of 5 days, these men were physiologically younger, measurably. Vision improved, joint function improved. The joints became more flexible, memory improved, heart function, lung function. Everything got better, and they even looked younger to people who didn't know about the study. The beginning picture that was taken at the beginning of the study compared to the end, people thought they were younger from the end picture. That's just how powerful the mind is. And she went on to say that the men broke out into a game of touch football while they were waiting for the bus to take them back to the nursing home. And she So I do not use the word OLD in my vocabulary, because when
exactly.
we speak those words, when we speak that into our consciousness, we are literally telling ourselves to get OLD, plus our beliefs that we developed along the course of life about OLD age, in terms of our observations of others during our childhood and adolescence and young adulthood, also shapes our physiology. So it is critical to think young. So I tell people, I tell my patients, I tell my friends, I tell my family, I am living longer. I'm not talking OLD. I just don't use, it's a four-letter word to me, because it is so damaging. It is so harmful to our physiology, because our cells are obliging that belief. I'm getting old. I'll say that, just for this example. And our cells say, okay, let me do that. There's no reason our bodies deteriorate in the pattern that they do, because we know that our subjective age, the age we feel we are, is really the truth rather than our biological age. And we can change that. We can either get younger or we can get older. based on what we believe our subject, our age is, and what and those anticipations and things that and cultural norms, they're very damaging to us because we don't have to get old. Our bodies were designed to live a long time. We don't know how long, really.
That's true. I have a 106-year OLD grandfather, and he is just as spry as he was 10, 15, 20 years ago. And he looks, he doesn't look 106. He looks like maybe he's 86.
Mm-hmm.
And he just keeps looking younger. I mean, his body's not doing so well anymore, but, you know, I mean, he can still get around, play a joke, you know, goof off with you. You know, he's totally alert. And he's been in a nursing home for a year and never has gotten sick because he's never taken any type of prescription meds. All he's ever taken is supplements.
It's what?
Supplements. You know, like nutritional supplements.
Right, yes. Absolutely. It is not... It is so... Our physiology is so flexible, so responsive to what we feel and what we believe and how we perceive the world. And I will say that for our culture, we do not treat our seasoned citizens well. We treat mm-hmm. them with great contempt, by and large. And that I also believe, not I don't believe it, the research has shown this to be true, that it actually impacts their health and well-being.
Yeah.
And we
that's
don't
what
honor
I'm surprised
our,
about.
Our elders as we once mm-mm. did. And it's very critical. I mean, we should honor all of life. I mean, these things we create in terms of beliefs about gender and all those other things and age, and we just made them up, basically, you know?
Right.
But when
it's just
we come
drawing
to
a line in the sand.
Yes, when we come to, I really believe, Rhonda, and this is an interesting turn in this conversation because we're talking about health, but this is part of our health. It's a part of our collective
right.
health. I truly believe that when we come to love ourselves, when we really do that, everything changes. And that is the missing ingredient in our culture, in our world. We are operating out of a limited belief system that separates, divides. It does all the opposite things that our spirit would do. And that is really,
right.
to me, the crux of all the issues we're facing, from the economy, our belief in lack and limitation and the control of the economy by whoever is doing it, and that places us in fear, to our relationships. When we're isolated, we are much more likely to get sick, but when we live in community and have a sense of connectivity, that actually protects us and prevents us from getting ill, to our family structure, our work. Work is the leading cause of stress in these United States. If we just loved ourselves, if we really did that, it would change everything. It would improve our health,
mm-hmm.
and it would change our basic way of life. I firmly believe that, and I hope, and I do believe that is what we're going through now. We're going
mm-hmm.
through a cleansing process, and we're facing these issues that we have not really faced in a way that is reaching a collective level to shift the consciousness. That's what I sense.
Right. And I sense it, and I've seen it. I mean, the collective consciousness is changing. I mean, I see it with the listeners that tune in. I see it with the people that I interview, you know. There's a lot of us out there trying to change and get the word out about, you know, how I put it is we're a jewel. You know, we're a facet in a jewel, and the jewel's facets are all connected. And as long as we work in that network that we're connected, and not saying, well, mine's better than yours or yours is better than mine or whatever, and it's all being equal and everyone being as brilliant as that facet, you know, is, you know, it's amazing how, you know, it just continues to turn into that right now, where it's really where people are sharing information, getting more information. The Native Americans talked about it, Rainbow Bridge time, and we're there.
Yes, I always felt that 2012 was the end of the sense of separation, and all that fear that surrounded the world coming to the end. It was the end of the world of separation, of isolation, of degradation, deprivation, of all those Asians that did, that only
stimulated
us to seek more good. Because I do believe, I know that all things work together for good.
Let's take a short break, and we'll everybody get a glass of water, and we'll come back. And those of you that want to call in with questions or comments, call in to 1-347-838-9142. And we'll be back in just a minute with Dr. Elaine Ferguson and Rhonda Harrison, your host. And we're back from break. Sorry about that little pause there for a second. Dr. Elaine, can you give the listeners your contact information again and Facebook information and Twitter information?
Sure, absolutely, Rhonda. My the book information, the website for Super Healing is Super Healing Book. It's superhealingbook.com. My primary website is Dr. Elaine, as in drelaine.com. The Twitter site is also Dr. Elaine, but Dr. spelled out, D-O-C-T-O-R Elaine. And my Facebook site is How to Get Well Faster.
And you were talking about your PBS show that is coming up, and can you tell us a little bit about what you're going to share in that information? Because I've noticed you've had it on your blog on Facebook in regards to the five things that we need to know.
Well, I'll give a little.
Yeah, just a little blurb.
I'll give one or two of them. I don't want to give the whole show away.
I don't want you to do that.
Basically, the program is about the things that I didn't learn in medical school that I wish I had learned, that's now very much evidence-based. And one of the things that I talk about in great detail in the book is that we now know that our family history and our genes do not control our health or our destiny. That one fact can change everybody's life, because the first thing that happens when you go to your doctor's office is you fill out questionnaires, and one of them is your family's medical history. When I was in medical school, we were taught that that is very important, so we know what to prepare for. That we, you know, we look at these, the incidence of heart disease, cancer, diabetes, hypertension, and on that run in families. But the truth of the fact is that we now know, thanks to this new field called epigenetics, which means around the gene, the belief that our DNA is fixed, meaning that it doesn't change regardless of the environmental changes that occur within our bodies, is just not true. We know now that family medical histories are only significant to the extent that family members live similarly. It's the way we live that affects our genes. Our genes, our DNA, has the capacity to express in over 30,000 different blueprints. And we now know that healthy genes, healthy living, turns on genes that promote health, and unhealthy living turns on genes that promote the development of chronic diseases. It is just that simple. But that is such a liberating fact that when I share that with people, most people tell me they don't believe it. And it's understandable why, but that is really the evidence that we now have. And it takes normally for doctors at least 15 to 20 years to catch up with the research, especially research that's out of our paradigm. If we had had a study that confirmed that family history is important, it would be all over the news. But this is very critical for people to know that just because your mother was sick or your father was sick or your grandparents with a certain disease, you don't have to get it. And look at it this way. Even though the disease ran in your family, everyone in your family didn't get the disease in the first place. So what was the difference? And the difference was their lifestyle. In my family, both of my grandfathers had diabetes. And people used to joke with my parents and say, you all shouldn't have gotten married. Your kids are going to have diabetes. No, we're not. I am not living a diabetic lifestyle. And unless you live a diabetic lifestyle, which means eating the wrong foods, not exercising, not managing your stress or your hypertension, you won't get it. And my lifestyle is very different from that, so I have no worry whatsoever about developing the diseases that my grandparents had, my grandfathers had.
It's interesting you mentioned diabetes, because my grandmother has had diabetes, and they precursed me as being pre-diabetic. Well, I've taken supplements and changed my diet drastically over the last 10 years. I've never developed it. At all.
And
it's amazing.
Yes, that really is. And the other thing that people don't understand is that stress affects your sugar level. And when you're chronically feeling stressed, you're releasing chemicals, cortisol in particular, that elevates your sugar level. That's why there is a link between stress and diabetes. And sometimes people have done the right things and their stress and their sugar level was still elevated, but then they were taught how to meditate, and meditation helps to lower the sugar level, which is not to say to your listeners to stop taking your insulin and go meditate. I'm not saying that at all.
No.
Because some people would take that literally. I've had that happen.
Right.
But in the context of treating the disorder and doing it appropriately, you can lower your insulin requirements by eating properly, as you said, managing stress, and exercising. That's been proven over and over again.
Yeah,
and I will tell you this
all thing.
about 15-16 years ago, I was practicing at a clinic, and I had a young man who was 17 years old, and he had very unusual symptoms, so I did a test on him because I couldn't figure out what was going on with him. He had adult onset diabetes at 17. I was taught in medical school, you don't get that till you're at least 45, if not 50.
Mm-hmm.
But it's because of the diet that had the changes in our national diet that it's making our young people have adult onset diabetes as teenagers. Are you kidding me? It was unheard of when I was in medical school.
Mhm. Yeah, it's amazing how, you know, just by even removing, you know, going to gluten-free products, all in itself can make a really huge difference in a lot of different diseases and different disorders and a lot of, you know, and I look at it as dis-ease. You know, your body's uncomfortable with whatever it is you're eating, and it needs to be changed so that you can move, you know, without having to be, you know, monitored with medication, you know, but it takes time to do that. I mean, I was offered medication and I told them no, you know, 10, 15 years ago. And I said, I want to see if I can change my diet and do it that way. And the doctor was like, well, that's the better way to go, but most people can't do that.
Yes, they can. They just may choose not to.
I know they can't. Exactly.
I was thinking this morning, Rhonda, we as a country went to the moon 40 years ago. If we can get to the moon, mm-hmm. we can improve people's health if we want to.
Exactly.
How do you go to the moon and back and then say, well, we just can't do anything about it? That is just unacceptable. That's not true. We're just choosing not to do what can easily be done because there are factors that interfere with that choice. And by that I mean the pharmaceutical industry has a big hold on the American government, on the FDA, on the media. That's why we don't have these approaches that are so simple and cost savings. We are literally heading towards bankruptcy due to the high cost of medical treatment. And I don't use the term health care because, in my opinion, it is medical treatment. And caring for your
Correct.
Health is different. It can be medical treatment can be a part of it, but health care should focus on health, and that's what's missing. We are so
Right.
focused on disease treatment and disease, and as you said, you are absolutely correct. Dis-ease means the body is out of ease, because when the body has ease, it is healthy and it is functioning normally. That's why you feel good when you do not have dis-ease or discomfort, either physically or emotionally. That is our normal state, and that is what the body was, how the body was designed to function in health. And I will also say this. It is really hard to get sick. It takes a lot. You have to throw a lot at your body to get ill. And even when you do develop a dis-ease, there is so much more that's functioning properly compared to the disorder that you have. Otherwise, your body could not sustain itself. And we don't think about that either. And I tell my patients, even though you may have this disease or this disorder, think about, focus on what's working. Because
Right.
there's a lot more that's working properly, even in the presence of that disorder, than what is in comparison to what isn't working.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that made a big difference for me is my primary doctor, she would use that approach, and she totally supported me in doing essential oils, doing my salves, doing, you know, other alternative things, finding other supplements, you know, rather than taking the OxyContin or the oxycodone for pain. And this is after a fractured spine, and I found that I got better relief from taking turmeric and arnica than I did from taking OxyContin.
Yes, because the OxyContin is just a powerful pain suppressor, whereas the turmeric in particular, which is just, it's a wonderful herb. I found just last week there's over 7,000 studies on it. It does so
mm-hmm.
many good things. But the turmeric helps to remove the toxins. It helps to remove the oxidation that goes on with inflammation. So it was quelling that inflammation that was the source of the pain. So absolutely,
mm-hmm.
it makes a huge difference. I've seen people with arthritis take turmeric, and their symptoms resolve.
Yeah, and it's just so beautiful how the divine put this all here. We're just now starting to figure it out. It's like we don't have like a guidebook to tell us which things to do. But I think in the last 10 years, we're becoming so much more open to going back into nature, using essential oils, using herbs, using, you know, food to get well again, instead of eating out of stress or nerves or because the TV says you need to buy this brand of whatever.
I would say that the body, that we have an innate intelligence, that if we just listen to it, it will guide us to what we need. And that was my experience, my personal experience when I began exploring I would be intuitively guided to take an herb. I had no understanding of what the herb was, and then I would later find out it was what I needed at the time. We're very intelligent beings, and the intelligence is far greater than our intellect. It's our intuition, which is our contact with what I conceive as the divine, with the spiritual intelligence, and with nature and with all of life. And if we just pay attention to that, it will guide us to what it needs. Our challenge is, as you said, not to pay attention to these external messages and to listen. Because one of the things I share with my patients is that our body whispers, it speaks, it screams, mm-hmm. and then it slaps us mm-hmm. down with a dis-ease because we didn't pay attention to those messages. And mm-hmm. I asked my clients, now they're not my patients because I don't do primary care anymore, but I asked my clients, as I once asked my patients, what's making you sick? Everybody knows. They know what's making them sick. And they normally are honest because they're surprised by the question. And 95% right. could tell me what caused it. The other 5% will say, well, I think it's stress. Well, I've been stressed for so long, I don't think it caused it. And I would say to them, well, if you start smoking a cigarette, are you going to get cancer the same day? No, it's cumulative. It builds up, and that's what stress does. It doesn't break down immediately exactly. because the body is very has so much in reserve that our cells can compensate for short-term stress, but that long-term, ongoing, day-in, day-out, chronic stress, distress emotionally is the major contributor to the dysfunction that creates dis-ease physically.
And that's so true. You know, we're at a point, you know, where, you know, if you, instead of taking the list to the grocery store, just going to the grocery store and buying what stands out to you in that moment, you know, rather than trying to plan it all, listen to your body for what it's hungry for, or what color of vegetables, or what yes. color of fruit to eat.
Yes, absolutely. And I tell my clients, and I say, I write about it in the book, just eliminate processed food, period.
Mm-hmm.
Even organic processed food. Because certain chemicals, and most people don't know this, are allowed into organic processed food, such as MSG, and that is monosodium glutamate, which is a toxin to the nervous system.
Right.
Eat what Mother Nature made, and that in and of itself will have a dramatic impact on your health. As you mentioned, it will just make you healthier. You feel better.
Yeah.
We know that processed food, especially processed restaurant food, causes the brain to shrink, literally. And it
right.
also mm-hmm. contributes to depression and anxiety. In comparison to a study that was conducted in Europe, I believe it was in England and in Ireland a couple years ago, it found that eating 7 servings of fruits and vegetables every day stopped depression, improved the mood, in addition to the physical benefits. So those types of things make a huge difference, have a great impact on our health and well-being.
Yes, and I just really, my hat's off to you for writing the book. I mean, I know that it's affected a lot of people already, but listeners, if you have a chance, buy this book. It is worth reading. It is worth your life if you want to get it back. I've applied a lot of that information and a lot of other information I've researched personally, and have had a huge healing event in my life from, you know, having sick sinus syndrome, having too many electrical surges in my heart and having surgery on that, to having a fall, having a surgery, you know, getting fused in my spine, and then that all coming loose and fracturing my spine. And I'm not to be walking without a walker or a cane or whatever, according to my doctors, and I'm not using any of those. And I walk and exercise a quarter of a mile a day down to my medicine wheel. And, you know, you're worth it. Take the time to do it. Research it. You know, email me. You know, searchersroadmap@gmail.com, or you know, email Dr. Elaine, because you know there are solutions out there and there are ways to get healthier and better, and to get, you know, be able to, at some point, to go off some of the meds. You know, for me, I haven't been able to go off all of them because I'm not there, and you know, my body still has, you know, a lot of damage from how I got here. You know, so it's like, but it's improving and it's better and it's lighter, and that's what I just, Dr. Ferguson, I'm really impressed with the book. And you know, for those of you that go, oh yeah, another book, great, it's definitely worth reading. You know, buy it, have it on your bedstand, have it out somewhere where you pick it up, just read pages randomly at times, and you'll get the information you need.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much, Rhonda. That's so kind of you, and I really appreciate it. And I would close with saying to you and to your audience is that you are a precious gift, and the world has need of you to be healthy and happy and whole, to support others going at this time in our experience and existence on this earth. Each one of us has a role to play, and we do it so much better when we're healthy and happy and vibrant and radiant and sharing the gift of our being. That's what life is really about. So thank you for this opportunity to share just a little bit of the healing, super healing message with your audience. It's quite an honor and a blessing. And as I said to you before we talked, before the interview began, thank you so much for your testimony to me. It just made my day. It really did.
Well, just let me know where to post it and who to get in contact with to have it posted to your email site and your blog site, and I will gladly do that. Because, like I said, you know, people need to know that there's other options out there. And I was one of those that thought I had to just do whatever the Western world told me, you know, because that's the way I was raised. And then, you know, then I started delving into the holistic part and the shamanistic part of it. And it's like, no, anything's possible. You know, the divine's a lot bigger than that little box we put the divine in, you know, so we can be controlled.
Yeah.
But with that, we're at the end of our hour. Reach me at searchersroadmap.com. I mean, searchersroadmap@gmail.com. And then tomorrow we'll be having David Geiger. He's a gemologist that's world renowned, and we're going to be, and he's also a shaman. And we're going to be talking about the ritualistic and ceremonial ways to use marijuana rather than to just get stoned, and that it's to be an honored herb, not something to use randomly. So with that, everyone, we'll see you tomorrow at noon Daylight Standard Time. On the East Coast, that's 2 p.m. On Central Standard Time, that's 1 p.m. And on the Pacific Coast, it is at 11 a.m. So thank you very much, listeners, for your following. Push that follow button on the Blog Talk Radio site and follow the show, and you'll be told when shows will be happening. Thank you, Dr. Ferguson, and we will be speaking soon.
Absolutely. Thank you, and God bless you.
God bless you as well. Talk to you later.
Okay, honey.
Everyone, goodbye.